So white grubs are larvae of beetles in the family Scarabaeidae, and this is they feed on the roots of turf grass, and this is just a picture of some of the damage that they can cause, yellowing and browning even when there's adequate moisture levels. And these are some white grubs, and turf can actually be pulled up like a carpet because the root system is so destroyed in some situations. All the beetles that I used in my study have a similar life cycle to the Japanese beetle. They have a one-year life cycle, and the adults are present in the months of June and July. First instar larvae are present and feeding in July and August, and the third instar, which are the largest and the most destructive, are present in August, September, October, and November. They move down in the soil profile when temperatures start to drop in the winter, and then they move back up the following spring where they pupate and become adults. So in controlling these pests, we want to target this area here, the first, second, and third instar, because that's when they cause the most damage. Okay. So we're looking at using BT Thuringiensis cervo-japonensis strain buibui, which I will just refer to as BTJ for the rest of the talk, in controlling white grubs in turf grass. And it was originally isolated in Japan from soil. It's naturally occurring, and it's specific to scarab beetle larvae. So we heard a lot about BT before in the first couple of presentations, so I won't dwell on that. But the insect actually has to ingest the spore or toxin in order to be susceptible. So the grub actually has to be there when these products are applied, so it's used curatively. And then the toxin will dissolve in the alkaline midgut and destroy the midgut lining and allow bacteria to flow back and forth and eventually kill the grub due to septicemia and starvation. So currently we have preventative controls, which include some nicotinoids as well as molt accelerating compounds, which are newer chemistries. And we also have curative controls, which are older chemistries and may at some point not be available to us anymore. We also have non-chemical controls such as milky spore and entomopathogenic nematodes, but those are expensive and have been inconsistent in the past. So BT fits into both of those categories, a curative as well as a non-chemical. And especially in situations where there's going to be kids playing, home lawns, where you don't want to put something toxic down, where there's going to be people are going to be exposing themselves to grasses, and also in environmentally sensitive areas where there may be a water course or a stream running through a golf course or a home lawn. In places like Toronto, Canada, for example, they have banned use of pesticides for cosmetic use on turf, as well as some places in California, Mother's Vineyard, as well as Long Island. So these are some of the places where we'd be able to use this BT. So the objectives of the study were to determine the susceptibility of four species of scarab larvae to BTJ in the field, and to determine the rates and timing for optimal control. So what do we know about BTJ as to date? Well, this was a study done in 1993. This is unpublished. This was a different formulation than I'm using now, but as you can see, BT provided at least 70% control and was comparable to the conventional pesticide isasafos when controlling the Japanese and the Oriental beetle. Also, Suzuki and Hori in 1993 determined that early instars are most susceptible. So it takes about 227 times the amount of toxin to kill a third instar as it does a first instar larvae. So the beetles that I used in my experiments are the Oriental beetle and the Japanese beetle. And from previous studies, so they're both in the family Rutilianae, and previous studies show that they are susceptible to BTJ and in the field. And I also used the European chafer and the Asiatic garden beetle, which are both in the subfamily Melilanthinae, and these two species have not been tested so far. So we wanted to see if what other species besides these two in our area is BT susceptible to. And also another study done shows that the Cupres chafer is really susceptible to BT, and it's also in the subfamily Rutilianae. So in my experiments, the sites were chosen based on a natural infestation of the target species, and we used a liquid formulation containing the toxin and spores each year, and then in 2006 we added a wettable powder formulation. And then each treatment was watered in, and we sampled at least 25 days after the last application. And so what we did, we sampled by cutting the turf about a half an inch below the soil surface, and then using a turf cutter, and then it was pulled back, and we sampled by extracting all of the live larvae out of each plot. So here are some of my results, and each graph is percent control on the y-axis and grams of toxin per hectare on the x-axis, and each graph is going to have a line at 70% control, because this is considered adequate control in most situations. So also, we used a conventional pesticide in comparison in each of our trials, just to compare the BT control to. And in this specific graph, we had an earlier and a later application. So the earlier application is in the light blue, and the darker one is the later. And I just wanted to show, and this is for the Japanese beetle, I just wanted to show that when the BT was applied earlier, it performed a little bit better than when it was applied later. So this is because the grubs are probably second instar in that later application, and they were first instar in the earlier one. And also note that the BT performed just as well as the imidacloprid, as far as the higher rate in this graph. And then in 2006, we had new formulations. We used a wettable powder and a liquid formulation, and they provided, at all rates, provided good control and comparable to the merit, which is the active ingredient is imidacloprid in that product. Okay. And then moving on to the Oriental beetle, this was a late application on September 23rd, so grubs were third instar at this point. As you can see, with increasing toxin concentration, we had increasing control, although since they were so large, we didn't see 70%. And it's also interesting that the trichlorophan, which is what we normally use for curative control, didn't have much of an effect. I'm not really sure why that was. And this is another Oriental beetle. These are results from another Oriental beetle trial, and we had the wettable powder and the liquid formulation. This was in 2006, and we had good control with all rates. Okay, and then moving on to the Asiatic garden beetle, we had we didn't see good control in any of the experiments with the Asiatic garden beetle. We had the later and the earlier later application for this one, and providing about 30% control when the grubs were first instar. But also, you can see that the conventional pesticide imidacloprid really did not have an effect on the species either. And then moving on to the European chafer, we had increasing control with increasing toxin rate, the grubs were third instar at this point, so if we had used higher rates or if we had applied earlier, we might have seen different results. So in conclusion, rates as low as 100 grams of toxin per hectare were effective against the Oriental beetle and the Japanese beetle, and the BT shows good promise for control for those two species. And the European chafer and Asiatic garden beetle were not effectively controlled with the rates and timings used. So potentially using BT earlier on in the season or higher rates might have might provide better control of these two species. And we found that it was effective in a variety of different turf grass species. Our sites were, we had perennial ryegrass, Aurora hard fescue. We also had some fine fescues. And there were a range of soil pHs, and this didn't seem to have an effect with our control, as well as the rainfall within 1 week of application ranged from 0.2 to 10.6 centimeters. So you would think that with increasing rainfall rates and runoff that potentially that might have an effect, but it didn't seem to in our trial. So topics for further research, just determining susceptibility of other beetle species in other geographic regions like mast chafers, Phalophaga species, and black turf grass Atenaeus, as well as looking at the differences in the larval midgut receptors of the Rutilini species subfamily versus the Melanthini subfamily. So, and then I'd just like to acknowledge these people and my funding source, and that's it.